Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Katie Towle. Katie is an acclaimed illustrator and children's author. She's the creator of the Children Are Scary website, an illustrated series which has a cult following of over 150,000 scared adults, teens, and children. Katie has dreamed someday of one day being the scary old lady in the house about which all of the neighborhood children tell ghost stories. She's also the author and illustrator of The Carousel of Sorrow and Charlie and the Grandmothers. Katie, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
Well, you have a background in graphic design, illustration, and animation. So why don't you tell us how you got into writing children's books, especially around scary topics?
Well, I did my animated series, or have been doing my animated series, since about 2005 or so. And that whole thing, like, I've always been interested in really creepy topics. It's just always been a passion of mine. And so I wrote scary stories for adults that were written in the style of children's stories, but they weren't children-friendly at all. They were very gory. And one day, YouTube featured one of my videos on the front page of the site. And that day, I got an email that said, "Hey, I'm a literary agent. I wondered if you'd ever considered writing for children. If you're interested, let me know. I'd love to represent you." And that is that was my agent, Paul Radine. And before you know it, I had a book deal, and it's been a whirlwind experience.
Oh, my gosh. What a story. So discovered literally through YouTube, got to the agent, and, you know, how many years later, you're an acclaimed illustrator and author. That is amazing. So, you know, you have this new book out, correct? Charlie and the Grandmothers. So how does this... Oh, wait, today?
Yes.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome. So this particular story for children and adults as well, you know, tell us a little bit about, I know I read that you teach about fear and all of its facets, grief, loss, love, depression, and anger. How do you do this through your stories?
Well, I take something that is a familiar feeling for all of us, and that it doesn't matter if you're naturally a brave person or naturally more fearful. It's something that it's a feeling that everyone knows. And I took that and applied that feeling to something that everyone is familiar with in a more comfortable level. And in this example, that's grandmothers. Everyone loves grandmothers. Grandmothers are traditionally very sweet and much more permissive than our parents. And why wouldn't you trust your grandmother? And so that's how I worked that into this story. And I made it a story that would appeal to everyone, with its target being kids who are naturally very anxious and who know trauma, who know depression, and who don't identify with your typical children's story protagonist, who's very brave and isn't scared of anything, and that's just not realistic. So hopefully the story appeals to everyone, no matter what their disposition, but at its heart, it's for kids who are scared all the time and who feel like maybe they're not normal.
Oh, that is really interesting. So do you feel that when you're writing your stories and you're, you know, focusing on helping kids who are scared, you know, is there anything to be said about parents that go maybe to great lengths to shield their children from negativity? You know, and of course they're just doing that to make them feel safe. But do you feel that they're helping them, or is this your way of saying perhaps you're hurting them and we need to share stories a different way?
Absolutely. I feel that, of course, parents naturally want to protect their kids, and they should protect their kids to a certain extent. But these feelings of fear and loss and grief and love and happiness, all those things are part of life. And we're all going to have to experience them sooner or later. And I think that the longer you shield your kids from experiencing those things through a safe medium like fiction, the harder you're going to make it for them to experience those things when they meet them in real life. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of, because parents can be so protective, there's just not a lot of new material for kids that features scarier or more dramatic topics, which is a shame, because even parents who want to share that stuff for their kids, or parents who have kids who want to experience that, they can't find it because it's just not out there. And that, I think, is a response to so many parents being like, no, I don't want my kid to be scared. I don't want them to have nightmares. And I just don't think that's healthy.
Yeah, you know, just an interesting, on a personal note, I remember when my daughter came back from my ex-husband's, you know, it was his weekend, and she couldn't have been, maybe she was in kindergarten, and she announced that she saw Silent Hill, which is a really, really scary movie. And of course, my natural reaction was, oh no, you can't watch these things, you can't see these things, which I think, you know, a lot of parents would feel that way. Of course, that's not necessarily the movie you want to introduce to your five-year-old. But I do see your point about the more you can experience in a natural way, in a healthy way, that there are topics that are uncomfortable, it helps because, you know, I know 18, 19, 20-year-olds who have never experienced, who have never grieved, experienced death, and, you know, who's to say if stories like that wouldn't help them to deal with it today when it actually happens. So I think that's very interesting that you touch on that. And are you finding that parents are appreciating this approach? Are you getting positive or are you getting pushback?
I'm actually getting a lot of positive response. I hear from a lot of parents who are like, thank you, I've been looking for something like this for my son or my daughter. And, you know, or my son doesn't just want to read about sports. My daughter doesn't care about princesses. They've been asking for this. Thank you for providing this. And it's been really encouraging.
Well, that's really good. And you have quite a following. So whether it's parents or teens or children, I know I read it, it's this cult, quote-unquote, of 150,000 scared adults, teens, and kids. How did you build such a large following? I'm almost wondering if social media has played a part in this.
Social media has definitely been a big part of it in more recent years, but I've been at this for a long time, like 10 years now. And when I started, social media wasn't even a phrase on our lips yet. There was MySpace, but it wasn't used that way. I mainly just posted my creepy little drawings on LiveJournal and in the DeviantArt community. And I developed, like, I had a fan base fairly quickly, which I'm still surprised about because my early work was not good.
Every author says that.
It's so true that I'm embarrassed. But I'm happy, too, that I got a good start somewhere. And I kind of create a family for myself, not just a fan base. And those people, most of them are still fans of mine today. Many of them are very close friends of mine. And so when you garner a following and friendships like that, you'll find that you have very loyal supporters who are happy to share the word about your work because they like you on a personal level. And I think just fostering relationships like that is key, even in today's world where social media is so big. I think it might even be more important now because there's so many voices out there. How do you filter that? And that's where those relationships come in handy.
I think that's so true. And social media lets you get personal and share things that maybe normally you couldn't do through other channels of communication. And I really do think when you're building a fan base and people who want to be intimate with you, in a sense, social media is a great way to be so human and personal. So I can see how this would definitely play a part into your large network. So these stories, the inspiration, you know, whenever I see an author writing creative stories, I always wonder, is there anything personal that you've experienced maybe that is represented in the characters portrayed in your stories?
Oh, yeah. Well, I basically am Charlie in my book. I didn't experience the traumatic experience that he does. But I was such an over-anxious child. I worried about everything. I had nightmares that something would happen to my parents. And I was just filled with constant fear. And at the same time, when I was like 12 or 13, my best friend did lose her father quite suddenly. And I watched her family go through the grief. I watched her kind of take a leadership role in the family. And that was also extremely inspirational to me. I mean, she's still such an inspiration to me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's something to be said when you can write about yourself, to put a piece of yourself in a character. I think that that is so meaningful when an author does that. I'm talking with my special guest, Katie Towle, author of Charlie and the Grandmothers. In the next segment, Katie will discuss what makes a good storyteller and the characteristics that can make you tell a better story and stand out.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Katie Towle and I were just chatting about her book, Charlie and the Grandmothers. So you have the new book out. Just curious, how long does it actually take from the start of when you think about your story to actually getting it published?
Well, a big part of that depends on me and how long it takes me to come up with the material for that. And Charlie and the Grandmothers was a little bit of a challenge for me. It was my sophomore novel. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it again. So I kind of struggled with the creative phase of that for a little bit longer than maybe someone more established would. But once you actually start writing it and you have it in with your editor and you're getting some feedback, I would say it takes probably 1 to 2 years to get a book out, so it's a long time.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. You know, it's so different when you're writing a business book, or let's say you're writing a book about social media, because you have to get it out so quickly because everything changes
right.
So quickly. But you're right, this type of writing, you can do a year or 2 years because it's your creative work and you don't have to worry about anything changing. So of course,
right.
You're probably...
I'm also the illustrator, so I have to take time. I have to take additional time to work on the illustrations. Whereas some authors have an outside illustrator who can work at the same time. So for me, it takes a little bit longer because I'm wearing two hats.
Right. Do you like the writing or the illustrating, or just both kind of flows together?
I think both flow together. They're both loves of mine that I've had for as long as I can remember. It can be a little bit difficult switching back and forth during the process because it's like using different parts of your brain, but they're equal passions of mine.
Well, you clearly have both sides of the brain going. You must. So you mentioned the challenge in the creative phase of Charlie and the Grandmothers. Are there any challenges in general that you experience as an author in the category of young adult fiction?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a challenge just getting into the right mindset, and especially when you're just starting out in the genre and learning how to write for that audience. Because I hadn't read young adult or children's fiction in kind of a while before I got my first book deal. And so my natural instinct was to try to water down what I was writing so it's not too scary or so that kids can understand it. But my editor was like, it's called Scary Children. They know it's going to be scary. Just write naturally. And I found it was actually not as hard as I thought it would be. So it's just finding that balance, really.
Did you do research? So would you go out and start scouring, you know, websites or look at your competition? Do you talk to children or young adults of that age to help you kind of get into their shoes and their mindset?
Definitely. I, of course, look at other children's books that are out there, books that have been recommended to me, so that I can kind of get a feel for what language is right. And I do have, even before I started writing books, I did have quite a few younger fans who would tell me what they wanted in a story, like, oh, I'm so excited you're writing a book. I hope it's going to be scary. I hope it's going to have this and this and this. And that's super helpful.
Oh, so the fans actually are asking for, you know, something to happen or to create a scenario. Did you ever use a fan's idea in a book and point it out so that they actually know, hey, you told me, you spoke and I listened and here it is?
Well, I try not to use ideas too specifically because I want it to always be my work. So when someone writes to me and says, I have this idea that's very specific and I hope that you'll include it in your next book, I tell them, that's a great idea, and usually they are amazing ideas. You should write your own book with that. And sometimes I get responses back with like, okay, I'm going to do that.
Oh, I love
but
that.
But I do... Yeah, I do generally take ideas of like things that I know scare people or things that move people. And I take that general concept and weave that into my work because that's a human feeling. That's something like suggestions like that are something that are going to resonate with the reader later on.
So everything scares me. I think I was scarred after The Shining. That's like the last scary movie I remember watching. And how many years ago was that? You know, but how do you know? Like, are there certain things that you just know are going to scare people? And I don't know if you can give an example, but what is it that really gets people frightened? Maybe just one example if you can give it.
Anything that shakes your personal sense of security is going to really frighten people. Not knowing what's going to happen is one of the most frightful things that people can imagine. What's hiding under your bed? What's hiding in your closet? What's behind you that you can only just barely make out of the corner of your eye? The unknown is terrifying to people, and that's where I take that.
Oh, my goodness. So do you have a favorite children's story and maybe authors that you've admired?
I do. My favorite children's book of all time is actually a novel by Salman Rushdie called Haroon and the Sea of Stories. And it's just such a wonderfully moving story about storytellers and the magical world that creativity creates. And I remember when I read that, I think I was about 12 years old, and I thought, I want to do this someday. I want to write stories that inspire the imagination the way this has. And I think that will be my favorite book for the rest of my life.
That's really cool. So you have truly followed a dream. And you know, even though it happened maybe when it was unexpected to get the literary agent, the book contract, but you really did know early on that that's what you were going to do. So who would you say, I know that you spoke of your favorite author, who else influenced you as far as your career? And do you have a role model or a mentor who works with you?
I would have to say my dad. My dad is probably my biggest role model, and I know a lot of people would probably say that, but my dad used to read Edgar Allan Poe stories to me like they were bedtime stories, and he would read the Telltale Heart and do sound effects of a heart beating, and
oh my
he
goodness.
Would, you know, sit on the floor with me and draw pictures, and he wrote short stories for me too, and I hope someday he'll go and get them published, but he really taught me a lot, and he's just one of my biggest inspirations.
Oh, that's really nice. Sounds like the writing gene is in your family. Does he just write as a hobby, or is that something that's a part of his career?
Just a hobby for him. He's kind of talked about maybe someday pursuing a writing career for himself, but he's just got to get out there and do it. But it's just
yeah,
a hobby,
you know,
so
that's
far.
Really good advice, whether it's your dad or anybody else. You got to get out there and do it. So what do you think makes a good storyteller? You know, what are those characteristics that can make somebody stand out?
I think writing what you love will make you stand out for sure. Because when you really love something, when you're really passionate about it, it's going to shine through in your work, and people will be excited to read the work of someone who was clearly excited to write it, even if they're not consciously thinking, man, this author really loves this topic. They can sense it, and they're going to be excited with them. So that, number one, is the most important thing. Write what you love, and people will love you for it.
Definitely. I mean, I guess that goes in anything that you do. If you don't have that passion, then you're not going to spark anyone's passion to go along with you. So I think that that is so true when it comes to storytelling. If you, there's so many people who want to write, and whether it's children's stories or novels or business books or whatever it is, memoirs, if somebody asked you for advice about writing stories and getting published, how would you tell them to start? What would they do? What's the process? How do they go about it?
Well, the first thing that I say is to, first of all, write. Write every day. Write that idea that's been in the back of your mind. Write the idea you just thought of 5 seconds ago if you're excited about it. But keep writing and don't let rejections or negative feedback stop you from doing that, because the more you write, the better your material is going to be. And secondly, when you've got something that you feel passionate about, get an agent. It's sometimes easier said than done. I lucked out, I'll admit that, but an agent is key in honing your craft, in finding a publisher and pairing with an editor, and also in just helping you navigate the publishing world. And yes, you can do it on your own. Lots of people have done so successfully, but an agent makes it so much easier.
Yeah, it sounds like it does. Are there resources where somebody, if they wouldn't even know where to begin to find an agent, is that something that you can do online? Are there books? Where would you find an agent in a particular category? And how do you even know what category you liked?
I think that it's good to attend writers' conferences in your area, for starters. Then you can take some workshops, you can meet with some agents there, and there will be other writers. There will be someone there who can advise you on your genre and where you should look. That, I think, is one of the best ways to find an agent and get some tips. But also, there are some resources online. Absolute Write is a really great site with an active forum full of writers, published and unpublished alike, who discuss these things. There's a site, Publishers Weekly, I believe. They have a newsletter called Publishers Lunch, which publishes recent book deals and who the agent was on that. And that's also a very valuable resource.
Excellent. And if there was something that you could share with all of my listeners that maybe you want people to know about you that perhaps doesn't come through in your stories, what would that be?
I would say probably that I actually love people, and I'm not really that scary on a personal level. I love scary topics, but people who've met me are just like, I really expected you to be really dark and gloomy and mean, and you're actually very friendly, and you're wearing pink, and I don't know what to think, and that's it, you know.
I love that. So you're wearing pink. You don't have the black nails and the black outfit or the witch's hat on, I suppose.
No witch's hat, you know, not in public anyway.
Well, you sound very nice, just lovely, and, you know, and being that you are who you are, and you can still create a really scary story, that's pretty amazing. So one last question. How can my listeners find out more about you and your new book?
They can visit my website at scary.com, and that's scary with a K. And on that site, they can read all the latest updates about my work, find links to my book, and to all of my social media presences.
Excellent. Well, good luck with the book. And Katie, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your thoughts about fear and all of its facets and just your journey as an author of scary children's books.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk with you.
Oh, thank you. And I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.